Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper. I'm filling in for Jeffrey Davis this morning. And our next guest in the studio is Melina Cortez Namili.
Very good.
Of Lullaby.
Very good.
All right. So tell us about Lullaby.
Well, first, thank you so much for having me here.
It's our pleasure.
My pleasure as well. So Lullaby is really a business that started a while ago with me doing research. I don't have a technical fashion background. I have a business background. So Lullaby was born officially in production, if you will, 4 years ago. And Lullaby is a clothing line, mainly of dresses, designed really for women like myself, women who are professional, who still enjoy dressing up. The pieces are special, can be considered special occasion pieces. There's a lot of pieces that are kind of from work to cocktail, if you will, which a lot of us do, depending on the day and depending on the work that we do. So that is what Lullaby is. That is what it represents.
So you manufacture and produce clothing as well as design?
Correct. So I am the designer. Mm-hmm. It's my company right now. I'm the sole investor in the company. Mm-hmm. My pieces, I do work with a team of four people. They're based in New York, and my clothes are made in New York. So yes, I design, and we also do the operations. We own the operations and the quality inspection and you name it, from A to Z.
So your customers, are they in New York or are they all over the world?
They are, well, so right now they are all over the United States, Wisconsin, New York, Boston. I'm trying to grow my presence in Boston, of course, because this is where I live. So we are all over the United States. We sell mainly to specialty boutiques. And so being from the Dominican Republic myself, that's where I was born, I'm starting to slowly work on a strategy to kind of expand and make my little mark there. That's important to me.
I understand. That must be quite a challenge. So.
It is a challenge because it's while they do like to dress up, they're different markets, different weathers, so I may use the same patterns, but I may have to be flexible enough to change it up a little bit. You know, here in the States, we have very... we design according to the seasons, whereas in a warm tropical climate, there really are no seasons. It's always warm, so that can present a little bit of a challenge. But right now, I'm studying. I was just there in March, just kind of studying, visiting some boutiques, getting some feedback on what people there like, what they don't like. That's important before I embark on any projects there.
Yeah, one of the things I noted on your website was that it's fashion that transcends the trend. So yeah, that might be always a worthy goal on one hand.
Well, I don't personally. I don't like to follow trends. Mm-hmm. I think that for me, it's important to create a piece that I'm always chasing. That piece that can live in your closet for years to come. You know, we all have that little black dress, and that is my goal, is for each one of my pieces to be that little black dress with more color, of course, that can be used today and can be used, next year. Mm-hmm. An example of that, I just did for an old girls' school. We did a fashion show there to promote girl empowerment and so on and so forth. And a lot of the pieces that I brought out were pieces from recent pieces, as well as dresses, the first dresses that I designed in September of 2014. And they all blended very well together. People came up to me, oh, I love your pieces. So nothing looked out of place. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like. And it's an investment. I like for my dresses to be considered investment pieces. I don't want somebody to invest in a dress and then, 6 months later, it's out of style. Mm-hmm. It's too flamboyant to the point where it can be seen again. So
interesting. So the economics of the dresses must be interesting in that case, because the price point must be a little bit higher and people must want to keep them longer.
Exactly. Especially when you take into consideration the type of fabrics are you using. A lot of my fabrics come from Italy, and the fact that I choose to manufacture my clothes in the United States. It gives me and my team tighter control over quality, and I'm small enough that I can still, as challenging as that might be sometimes, mm-hmm. because it does get expensive. It just, for right now, my main purpose is to make sure that I'm as I put myself out there, as I put mm-hmm. my name out there, I want to be known by quality, by mm-hmm. by good and excellent craftsmanship. And I think it's hard to achieve that if you're not very close to your process.
Mm-hmm. So you don't see this being a scaling huge business at some point, because it seems like you want to maintain kind of direct control over the output. You don't see a team of designers working with you and having...
It's, you know what? Right now, I see Lalabee growing steadily. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for me for the business to grow steadily. It has been growing, thank God, steadily. But it's been growing to a pace where I can control it, because I have other things in my life, of course, that demand attention. Mm-hmm. Where the business, of course, I want to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And I just said I want to expand into Latin America, and I have people there that would assist me. So delegating is not, it's not a problem. As far as different designers, collaborations, and some things, those are things that I actually have kind of in the back burner, if you will, for, you know, maybe 5-6 years down the line. So definitely could be a possibility. I think right now I'm just trying to put myself out there, make my brand known, kind of refine my product, make sure that what we're doing is exactly, it's looking exactly the way that we want it and need it to look, mm-hmm. And kind of building that brand. I want my brand to be when you say Lalabee, I want it to be known for good craftsmanship with exquisite taste, something that is timeless, something that mm-hmm. is elegant. And then, you know, I think we're doing a pretty good job at that right now. And then, you know, in time, we'll grow as we need to grow.
Excellent. So could you tell us, to give us a sense of what type of volume you do per year?
Sure. So when I first started, mm-hmm. my very first collection, I did not sell one piece, okay. And that was very humbling. And then these days, probably 200. So it's 200 a year. So it's still a very small business, I think.
Yeah. 200 pieces.
200 pieces. That is correct.
Would you say how many customers does that represent?
That represents probably between 20 and 25 customers.
Okay.
Yeah. So specialty boutiques, you know, they buy in small amounts, and then a lot of it is specialty orders and one-offs and so on and so forth. So
do you know, are you selling to boutiques or are you selling to individuals directly?
Right now, to specialty boutiques. That okay. is my main consumer, yes. I do okay. keep inventory on my website mm-hmm. just so that I have kind of some kind of direct communication with people, so I know my customers. So I do a little bit of blogging. I need to get better at that, but I do keep a very small amount of inventory on my website. But mainly, my main buyer or buyers at boutiques, mm-hmm. specialty boutiques.
And how do you establish the relationships with them?
Well, I've had help. Uh-huh. Of course, the folks that I work with in New York, they've been in the business for many, many years, and they've introduced me to, they've opened the door for me, mm-hmm. of course, to a lot of these boutiques. And at the beginning, when you're establishing a relationship with a specialty boutique, or I think in any kind of business, at first it's kind of like you're getting to know each other. It's almost mm-hmm. like a dating thing. Yeah. You're getting to know each other. They want to mm-hmm. know that I can deliver on time, mm-hmm. that my production pieces are going to look exactly like my sample pieces. So mm-hmm. that first order is very important. And then you kind of develop a relationship with them. Then, mm-hmm. you know, they text me or they email me questions or whatnot. I just did a trunk show at Christina's Bridal. And it's just, you kind of become an extended part of their business. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to help them be successful.
So help me through this again, because I'm a man. I know nothing about fashion. So you would send sample items to these boutiques. Women would come in, look at them and say, I want this. And then they would either buy that and have it tailored, or would they see pictures? You'd get measurements and then you'd produce it for them.
A little bit of everything you just said. So the usually the way that it works is that you have a salesperson or your line, right, is shown at a showroom.
Okay.
And so the showroom makes appointments, and then the boutiques during market week or whatnot, the boutiques go into the showroom, they see your line, they place their orders right there, then and there. I have started doing trunk shows, and what that means is that we get the entire collection collection to a store is displayed for 2 or 3 days. And I go in there as a designer. I meet with, I'm kind of selling my clothes to the people that come in. So if they have questions, if they want something a little shorter, if they have something a little longer, because we are still small enough, we are able to do that by consultation. Sometimes it's not possible. You know, sometimes folks have ideas that I don't think do justice to the piece, and you know, we have to be honest about that. But so trunk shows are a different way to sell, and they're great. I just started doing them, and I love them because you really you see your customer face to face, and you get feedback, and you know. So, but mainly boutiques make appointments with the showroom, and they go and see your pieces. They are all together.
So they see it at the showroom, then they say they want to carry it or
exactly,
how, and they would either buy that item or they would take pictures of it.
Well, ideally, they write the order in right there, and sometimes they take notes, and they take it back to their team. Sometimes, depending on the size of the store, it's a team of buyers, and they have their meeting or whatnot, you know, see something that's going to work for the store, how many pieces, and so on and so forth, and then the order is placed.
Well, this has been fascinating, Melina.
Thank you.
So if people want to get in touch with you and find out more about your fashions, what's the best way that they can do that?
Well, best way is Instagram. So they can, so of course, there's my website. It's www.lalabee.com, and that's LALLABEE.com. And then I am on Instagram, and my Instagram name is lala.bee.
Lala.bee. Well, we're going to take a picture for you for our Instagram account right after the show. We'll post it there, and then people can follow you from there as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.